Good morning, church. Everybody doing well? Hey, my name's Brian. I serve as one of the pastors for LifePoint at our Delaware campus. I have to say, today's a pretty special day for me. This is the first time that I've been back to Lewis Center on a Sunday since we launched that campus. But you guys have just an incredibly special place in my heart. Right? This is the place where I came to know the Lord at. I was baptized here. My son was baptized here. And then today I get to see all the folks that were in my life group during that time I haven't been able to see for a while. In fact, I married my beautiful wife here right down in front. Right? We had a small wedding. We only invited a few of our friends, invited just a few of our family. But I think everybody that was in our life group showed up to our wedding, except our life group leader. His name was Ryan. He ended up having to work that day. He worked at Price Farms in Delaware. If you guys know, Price Farms is a place that deals with products that you would buy for your farm or your garden, like soil or compost or even manure, right? So he was working that day. We went ahead and got started. But I remember we were right down here in front, and Dean was getting ready. He was about to get started. Me and my wife, we had turned, you know, to look at each other. And it was that moment, right? It was that moment. It was beautiful. I mean, it was emotional. And then all of a sudden, those doors back there flew open. And then Ryan came running up to the front right where we were. And you know how they say that some men take their work home with them? Yeah, well, he brought his work with him to church, right? On his boots and on his pants. I mean, he had left work and came right to our wedding because he just wasn't going to miss it. I remember he felt so bad, really, for how he looked and probably a little bit for how he smelled, right? But he wasn't going to miss the wedding. Then I just reminded him I'm from Kentucky and that was normal for me. Hey, I want to say before we get started, just really thanks for letting me come and share, you know, God's word with you. But with that, this may be the last time Dean lets me up here with a face mic. So let's get to it. We're going to be in Psalm 145 today. If you've got a Bible, you can flip there. If you've got an app, you can thumb there. And it'll be real easy. I'm not really going to take us to other parts of Scripture. So if you want to stay there with me, it'll be real easy for you to follow along. And if you've been with us over the past several weeks, we've been in this series all summer long that we've called Seasons, where we've been walking through the Psalms. And you and I know that we all go through seasons of life, right? Some are really long and some are short. Some are really great and some maybe not so great. So what we've said was that the big idea of this series every week, and it's the first thing that you see there in your listening guide, the big idea is that you and I should seek God in every season. You and I should seek God in every season. Well, today we're going to wrap up this series, but I think it's really fitting that the psalm we're going to cover today comes at the end of the series. I've talked to so many of our folks that said this series was so helpful for them because we've covered really, you know, several of the peaks and valleys that you and I go through in life. Right, one week is that season of life that you're in where you're trying to make a wise choice for yourself or your family and you seek wisdom from God, right? And then one week was, you know, that season of life where you're trying to make sense of really the injustice in the world. And there was another season where we realized, you know, just how blessed we are and how we could be a blessing to others. And then one season where we're trying to, it's just life is tough right now, right? I don't know why this is happening to me. So we covered several, right, of those peaks and valleys that you and I go through. Well, today we're going to be in Psalm 145. And what was significant for me is that while those other psalms we covered could really represent the highs and lows of life, Psalm 145 really covers the constant in a Christian's life, right? It doesn't touch on the extremes, but really just the ordinary faithfulness of everyday life. So I want to lay before us our main point for today. And it's there, the second thing that you see in your listening guide. And it's this: I will because he is. I will because he is. And you'll see this play out really as we move forward. This psalm has two sides of it. It's God and man. In this psalm, there are 20 kind of separate responses from man about God. So if we don't look at it from both sides, I think we may miss, you know, really all that the Lord has for us. This psalm, 145, it's titled a psalm of praise, right, of David. Right, this is David's praise. This is David's praise, just like Psalm 86 was David's prayer. And some of you are like, yeah, I get it, right? It says that at the top of my Bible. But here's my point. This psalm, as a part of Jewish tradition, would have been recited three times a day. It would have been twice in the morning. This. And this psalm's just an amazing, it gives us an amazing view of the character of God, of his greatness, of his goodness, of his faithfulness. And it's absolutely helpful in our relationship with the Lord. But I want to say this, that praise is personal. Right, praise is personal. And this is David's praise. And while I hope that what we cover today is going to be helpful for you, my prayer is that God's going to speak to your heart in a way that you can write your own letter of praise. Right, praise is personal. And there are so many nuances with this psalm, like it's an acrostic, the Hebrew alphabet, how it fits in church tradition, right? So if you're a nerd like me and you want to hang out afterwards and talk about that, we'll do that all day long. But that's just not where the Lord's taking us this morning. So we're going to jump right in. We're going to jump into Psalm 145, start out in verses 1 and 2. We're going to spend a little bit of time there and then touch on just parts of the rest of the psalm to see what all that God has for us. So this is the way Psalm 145 verse 1 starts out. It says, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. And we're gonna camp out here really for a few minutes because I think this kind of sets the tone for us. Right, this is a man who from experience, right, from an intense pursuit of God, from a strong desire for God, he doesn't write just about the God of the Bible, but about the God of his heart. I mean, look at the language that he uses. Right, he says, I will extol you, right, I will bless you, my God. Right, David had a personal and intimate relationship with the Lord. He said, my God. Right? He's not writing about his parents' God. He's not writing about his friend's God. But he's writing about the God of the Bible that he's come to know and love as the God of his heart. In Psalm 63, it's another psalm that David wrote. We get just a beautiful picture of his relationship with the Lord. It starts out like this. He says, God, you are my God. He says, I will seek you diligently. He said, my soul thirsts for you and my flesh yearns for you. There's nothing casual about that, right? I mean, this is a man who's consistently seeking after the Lord. He can't get more. And he knew God, right? We see that. He knew God. But he knew there was more, right? So he just kept pressing in. I think what he's saying is that no matter where I'm at, right, no matter what circumstance that I find myself into, if I am not in the presence of the Lord, my heart hurts. So here's the question. Why don't we? I don't know about you guys, but I can't remember one of my prayers anytime recently where I said, Lord, I thirst for you, much less that my flesh yearns for you. David said yearn. I don't even say that to my wife, right? But he had in his heart this strong desire and craving for the Lord in such a way that these were the only words that he could use to describe it. I mean, look at the language. It's almost romantic. Right, we get to see this love relationship that he had. And that's why I go back where I think Psalm 145 for us kind of represents that constant in a Christian's life. Right, we all go through seasons. And we saw over the past, 7 weeks how important it is for each of us to seek God during those seasons. And praise the Lord for how he comes through in such a big way during those times. But I believe that the greatest glory that you and I are going to see of God is just through the ordinary faithfulness of everyday life. What we're going to do today is as we work through this psalm, we see how David really has this love relationship, but also how he cultivates that with the Lord. And we're going to focus on really three themes that we're going to see during this psalm. First one that we'll see that he writes about is God's greatness. And then we're going to see him write about really God's goodness. And then we'll see him write about God's faithfulness. Right? He writes about all three. But we're going to touch on, I think, some of the right out of those that tend to rob us of our joy or our praise for the Lord. Right? Out of those three kind of themes, one of them for me is one that I don't tend to praise him enough for because I don't recognize it enough. Right? One of them is something that I just tend to give him the most praise for. And then one of them, to be honest with you, is one that I struggle with, right? But those may be different for each of you, right? So that's where we're gonna be heading today. But I wanna stay in really verses 1 and 2 for a few more minutes, because what we see is that David's praise to the Lord comes from his relationship with the Lord, right? We see that this relationship isn't just a centerpiece of his praise, but also, you know, ways that he cultivates it, right? He said, I will extol you, right? I will bless you. Right? And extol means to lift up, right? It literally means lift up in admiration above everything else. And bless you, bless, that word we translate into bless literally means to kneel down in adoration. He says, I'll lift you up and respect you while I kneel down and I love you. But look at the intensity, right? Or even the repetition that we see in his words. He said, I will extol you. I will bless your name. I will bless you. I will praise your name. He shows this intense passion for the Lord, right? He's not just pursuing, you know, to know about God. He's pursuing to know God deeper in relationship. I think he starts us out this way just to say that your relationship with the Lord will be the fountain, right, that your praise flows from. He also, he said, I will bless your name forever and ever. He said, every day I will bless you. This is a man whose relationship with the Lord, man, it went well beyond Sunday, right? I think what he's saying is I can't imagine a day go by where I'm not spending time with my God. And it goes back to that emphasis really on relationships, spending time with God in his word and in his relationship. We see this was a central part of his relationship. I don't think anybody in the room can really look at this and read and say, this man is just checking off a section of his daily Bible reading plan, right? That's not what's happening here. He's communing with the Lord. And I've struggled with that before. I don't know about you, but I've struggled with that. I pull out God's word, I find out where I'm at for today, I start reading through it, and I just approach his word really in a casual way. But when I stop, right, and just ask God, just lay on my heart, right, what you have for me in your word, because that's the primary way that God speaks to us, right, through his Holy Spirit and through his word. And then after that, I'll go to, you know, my prayer spot, right, that place that you and I go to where we can get away from the spouse, right, we can get away from the kids, get away from the dog, especially that dog, right, where it's just you and it's just God. And you get to pray back to him what you took from his word, right? David was communing with the Lord, right? Through his Holy Spirit and his word, God speaks to us. And then through our prayers, we speak to him. And the last thing I think we see as a kind of a central piece of his praise is in verse 1 when he said, my God and King. Right? He didn't just say, you're my God. He said, you're my King. And David was a king himself. We know that. And this psalm was written likely during a time when his kingdom was doing well. But no matter what position of authority David had, he still placed himself under the authority of God. We see another central kind of piece to his praise was his personal submission to the Lord in all areas of life. Right? He said, my God and King. Right? They really can't be separated. Right? That my relationship with the Lord, my walk with the Lord also requires me to walk in submission. Right, I can't really say, God, I want you, right, in every part of my life, but I only want to give you part of it. Right, we can't compartmentalize that way, right? Can't say, I want to give you, you know, this, but I want to hold on to my routine, my finances, right? Or I want to give you this, and I want to hold on to, you know, maybe my routines. Right, that's just not what we read in Scripture. That's not what we read in the psalm, but that we would seek him fully, right, and we would submit to him fully. Right, so David starts us off really in his individual praise, showing us that his relationship is cultivated, right, by getting to know or pursuing the Lord in a way to get to know him deeper, by walking in submission and also spending time. But let's be honest with each other, right? Can we be honest with each other? It's church, right? Of course we can. What about those times when you don't feel like it? Anybody with me on that? What about those times when you just don't want to? Right, I had the worst day ever, right? My work today was so stressful. I don't know what happened at home, but for some reason my kids lost their mind, right? It was just crazy. Things aren't going so well at home. I'm not connecting really with my spouse, or I had plans for the day and they just didn't work out the way that I thought they would. What about those times? What about those times when I don't feel close to God, when I don't feel the nearness of God in my life, and maybe haven't for a while? What about those times? In verses 1 and 2, I think we see something else that's just really significant. I'll go back to those four, you know, statements that David made. He said, I will extol you. I will bless your name. I will bless you, and I will praise you. In all four of those statements, what do we see? I will. I think what David is showing us is that not only is praise personal, but praise is a choice. Praise is a choice. And that takes us back to our main point today. Right? I will because he is. There have been times in my life through my actions, I've said I won't because he is not. Right? I won't because I just don't, he isn't close with me. I won't because, you know, he isn't working on my timeline. Or I won't because, you know, he's not pulling through for me in this situation. And that's when our praise becomes conditional. Right? And conditional praise doesn't match the unconditional love of God. I will because he is. Says, I will praise you because I know your heart, because I know your character, because I know that even though things aren't working out in the way that I thought they would, that frankly, you're just smarter than I am. Right? I will praise you even when I don't feel like it, because my faith is more than a feeling. And then just through the ordinary faithfulness of everyday life, that God will grow you in that relationship and develop in your heart of praise. Right in verses 1 and 2, we get to see David's really individual praise. And then the rest of the psalm, we get to see what is the focus of his praise, right? It's God. So I think right now we can just really kind of define what praise is. What I read from this psalm, you know, for us today, that praise is when all that you are responds to all that he is. Then David works us into really our first theme of today. In verses 3 through 7, David focuses really on the greatness of God, right? He said the greatness of God is unsearchable, right? It's inexhaustible. And I think what he's doing is taking us back to Psalm 19. He wrote Psalm 19, but we covered that here a few weeks ago, so I don't want to rehash everything from that week, but we know that God reveals himself generally, right, through revelation or through creation, but he also reveals himself specifically through his word, right? David is saying that the greatness of God can be seen in the creation that he's made. You know, one of the things that I love to do, or me and my wife do, it's really the best part of the week for me. It's on Saturdays. We'll wake up early and we'll go to the Alum Creek Dam. You guys know the Alum Creek Dam? Yep, it's a big park. They hold a lot of events there. And then there's just this never-ending flight of stairs, right? It goes from the bottom to the top of the dam. And we'll go and I'll run those stairs. I run the stairs. She does this crazy CrossFit stuff where she's like crawling up the stairs, sometimes even backwards. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'll break a wrist. But we go there and we'll spend our mornings together. And then when we finish, right, we'll go up to the top and we'll just hang out and we'll pray together. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, it was one of those mornings where the sun was just coming up, right? The weather was perfect. We've got a picture of it and you could see my selfie skills, right? I mean, it was gorgeous. I remember looking out and just seeing, you know, just the thumbprint of God. And I remember saying out loud, right, look at this. All right, if nature reflects the glory of God, then look at how beautiful he is. All right, I will praise him because just how beautiful he is and the creation that he's made. You can see the greatness of God in your everyday life, right? It doesn't take traveling across the world and it doesn't take extreme events like we saw last week, right? I mean, everybody was all kinds of excited about that solar eclipse. And don't get me wrong, I thought it was super cool, right? And praise the Lord for how he works those things. But if you turned on your TV that day, right, we were filling stadiums, right? Everybody was wearing those silly glasses that they had to wear. And then if you waited too long to get those glasses, you couldn't find them anywhere. So you got on YouTube and you watched a video where you could pull out a shoebox, put some holes in it. Everybody's holding up shoeboxes. Some people were even using Ritz crackers, right? But the whole nation was captivated by the hand of God for 3 or 4 hours. But I don't think that we have to wait, right, for events like that. All it takes is for you and me to just stop and do what David writes here. He says, I will meditate, that I'll think about, I'll ponder, and just enjoy God and his creation enough for. Because, right, this one for me, this is the one where I don't praise him enough for, because I don't recognize it enough. Right? If you guys are anything like me, you know, we're busy in a week. Right? We've got our work schedules, our kids' schedules. We've got all kinds of things that occupy our time. And we walk by, we run by God's greatness every day of our lives. But having that time in the week where you just stop and you be able to be able to just enjoy him in his creation, I think is important for your praise. Right? So David, then he'll work us through, really in that next section of verses, David's going to touch on our second theme for today, which is God's goodness. And 8 through 13 is where he talks about God's goodness. And we're just going to look at really 8 and 9, just verses 8 and 9. And we're going to spend a little bit of time here. In verses 8 and 9, he writes, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, that he's slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. I think in these two verses, there isn't a clearer picture, really, of the character of God. He's taken us back to a passage in Exodus chapter 34. He's really keying on just two verses, 6 and 7. And it's where the Lord came down and he was with Moses, said he was passing in front of him, proclaiming, he said, the Lord, right, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Again, for me, this is the one that I tend to praise him the most for. But I think that oftentimes, a lot of us kind of struggle with this one. Right? I think this is one that may rob us of our praise or our joy for the Lord, because we may have a different this achievement or different thought of God's character. Right? Because we live in today's culture, right? This achievement-based culture, that a lot of us tend to be consumed or even just focus on all the things that we're doing wrong, right? All the ways that we don't live up, all the times that I fail. And then we feel like we have to work our way back into his favor. And if your life becomes preoccupied with your sin, then I don't know that we ever get to the point where we truly realize the fullness of life that God has for you. Right? When you're focused on that, and then you get to the point where you do fail, right? We tend to kind of draw away because we're going to fail. Right? And you think, well, I just can't do that. Well, you're right. You can't. But nobody can. The Apostle Paul, or the greatest church planter, missionary in history, the Apostle Paul, he wrote the most relatable words in all of Scripture in Romans chapter 7. He did. He said, those things that I should be doing, man, I just don't do them. Those things that I shouldn't be doing, he said, man, I just keep on doing them. Doesn't that sum it up? Right? It takes us back to our main point today. I will because he is. My fear is that some of us say I won't because he is angry, or I won't because he's disappointed. And we need to read these words again and pray them into our hearts and get to a place where you say, I will. I will praise you because you love me. I will praise you because you love me in spite of me. Look, a Christian's life, right, is marked. It's marked by confession and repentance, right? Right, confessing my sins and repenting of my sins should be a constant in a Christian's life.
But confessing my sins should always, always bring me right back to confessing my faith, to praising God for the grace and the mercy and the compassion that he shows us in life. This week, it means I focus more on who I am in Christ than every mistake I made this week. If that's you today, if you kind of struggle, you know, with this one, maybe with self-condemnation, I hope that's an encouragement for you. Just have some compassion on yourself, right? Because God has compassion on all he's made. So David writes to us really about the goodness of God. And then in the next kind of section of verses, our last section that we'll look at today, verses 14 through 19, David focuses on our third theme. He focuses on really the faithfulness of God. And this is what he writes. He says, "The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season." It says, "You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him and all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him, and he also hears their cry and saves them." Look at the language. Look at the language that David uses to describe God's faithfulness. He says he upholds all, that he provides to all things. He provides their needs when they need it, that he satisfies the desires of all things. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. David started out big and then he got real small, right? He started out with all of creation and then he dialed it into you and me by verse 19. And we're gonna stay here for a few minutes because I believe that this is one of those things that most robs us of our joy and praise for the Lord. And to be honest, this could also even be a barrier of worship. David, in this section, is pointing you and me, he's pointing you and me to God, our one who provides. He's pointing you and me to God as the one who fulfills our desires. And frankly, there are many of us that just, we look to other things. Right? Many of us look to other things as the one that provides. We look to other things that we think or we feel will satisfy or fill our hearts. And to be honest, this is the one, for me, that I struggled with the most. For many of us, it's not really whether you have praise in your heart, but where you place that praise. Right? God created you and me to worship. He did. He designed us that way. He created you and me to worship and praise, to worship and praise him. But we tend to share that. We share that with so many other things. And I think when we get to the point where we don't praise him for providing for us, it's because we don't see him as provider. We see ourselves, right? Where we don't praise him for fulfilling, right, our desires, satisfying our hearts because we're trying to seek other things to do that. You know, I haven't been a pastor for very long. And before this, I had an 18-year career really in corporate retail. And there was a period of time where I would just focus on my career, right? I was making good money. I was all over the nation for business. I had authority, had responsibility, had a pretty successful career. But that's what drove me, right? And my work life became my whole life. And then all of a sudden one day, just out of the blue, I was laid off. And job interruption can be stressful for anybody, but when your identity is tied up in that, and that's devastating. I look to my work and my career as provider. My work was what I used to determine my worth. And when we do that, that tends to lead us away from God, and for some of us, into self-reliance. And for some of us, it's not really about our career or about our work. For some of us, it's just because we try to find, we continually pursue and seek out all those things that we think are going to fill or satisfy our hearts. And we're all over the place with this one, right? Instead of praising the Lord for how he provides for our needs, we end up spending our life chasing after the things that we want. All right, for some of us, it's a house. For some of us, it's a nice car. For some of us, it's maybe vacation or clothes or even the new iPhones, right? I mean, we're all over the place in this one, right? We attach our worth to things that over time become worthless. But the difficult part of this is that none of that's wrong, right? None of that's sinful. But it's dangerous, right? When we start praising things that cannot do for you what you're hoping that they will. Right, when we go out and buy that new car, it makes me feel better, it makes me feel like a better man. It does for a period of time. We go out and buy those new things, it makes me feel better for a period of time. And we have to continually seek because it's only temporary. We continuously seek and pursue all those things that we feel are gonna satisfy or fill our hearts. Look at me. God will give you a full heart if you fully seek after his. Right? David writes about his faithfulness, about God's faithfulness and how he provides and how he fills the desires of our hearts. Right? I will praise him because he's our source. Right? He's our source of satisfaction and joy, our source of peace and balance, of strength and stability. All right, so we see David's individual praise and then the focus of his praise. He writes to us about God's greatness, about God's goodness, and God's faithfulness. All right, but he had a limited view. He did. He had God's creation, right? He had God's word, but he had a limited view. He didn't have the same view that you and I have. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 1, I want to read this for us. And it's really just in verse 3. This is what it says. It says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. For you and me, all we have to do is look to Jesus. Right, there is no greater display of the glory of God than in the person of Jesus. If you ever get to a place in your life where you just question God's greatness or God's goodness or God's faithfulness, then you don't have to look any farther than the cross. Right, because everything that made you and me an enemy of God was poured out onto the cross. It was absorbed completely by Jesus. So that when God looks at the cross, he sees you. But when he looks at you, he sees his son. And because of the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus, you and I have this opportunity for this intimate and personal relationship with God the Father. And that alone should drive us to praise him. As we close up, I've got just a couple more minutes. As we close up, I want to just kind of share with you guys a recent prayer of mine. A couple weeks ago, you know, I had one of those weeks, right? It was one of those weeks where it was stressful, it was busy, I was distracted, right? And then you get to the end of the week and you look back and you're like, I lost that, right? I just lost this whole week. It was on Saturday and I was just on my knees. I was praying to the Lord and my heart was just crying out to God. That I'm sorry. Right, that I hadn't given him the praise that he deserved that week, that I hadn't looked to him in the way that I should. And then the Lord he laid on my heart just to be thankful. Because I want to say this, that no matter how much you and I look to God, he is always, always looking to you. I will. Because he is. Let's pray together. Father, thanks so much for, you know, our time. Anytime that we can come together, Father, and sit under your word and be taught, it's always, always a blessing. Lord, when I read these words of David, I tend to think of myself and say, man, I wish I had that praise. I wish I had that praise. And I can remember, Father, the times when I do have that praise is the times where I'm just pursuing you with all my strength. And it just reminds how faithful you are. I pray that over everyone that's here today. Father, whether we were close with you today, whether we're far from you today, whatever that is, Lord, that our praise is not based on us, but it's based on who you are. I pray, Father, that through our pursuit of you, Lord, through our relationship with you, that you let us get to know you deeper, that we can find out everything about you that we can, to love you all the more. Lord, as we look through your greatness and your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord, I'd say, Lord, praise you for who you are. And if we struggle with any of those, Lord, you know the people in this room, you know their hearts. You know what they struggle with, you know what they don't. Lord, I pray that you speak to their hearts and the areas that they struggle with, Father, and just so they know that you're there. Lord, I want to say in our lives, just for how faithful that you are in our lives. We love you, and I pray this in the authority of our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.